and welcome to Eerie Earth. I'm your host, Kieran, and I'll be guiding you on your journey through the paranormal. Together we will learn about hauntings, dark tales, and much more. So sit back, relax, and join me as we explore this eerie earth. Let me begin by telling you a little bit about myself. I'm originally from Aberdeen, Scotland, where as a child, tales of the paranormal, the unusual, and the macabre would fascinate me. I would wait with bated breath to hear the stories from my father about a haunting that he had at his school. He would tell me about a pesky poltergeist that would play pranks in his drama studio, a ghostly child that would interrupt performances, and the sounds of footsteps that would erupt backstage on a daily basis. I would read stories about haunted castles, stately homes, and strange creatures and dark mysteries. When I was at school, I witnessed what can only be described as an old woman in a nightgown in my friend's house, her terrifying image staring at us from his kitchen window, beckoning us to re-enter his house after a series of spooky events. Her image still haunts me to this day. In 2007, I was given the opportunity to begin investigating the paranormal to try and find that one piece of evidence to prove to me that the supposed hauntings were in fact true. I began investigating in Aberdeen, investigating locations in and around the city, from Fyvie Castle to the Aberdeen Tolbooth, to name but a few. After a short while, I moved down to Bristol with my partner and we set up our own team, Torchlight Paranormal Investigations, where we would investigate locations all over the Southwest. Our intention was to neither prove nor disprove the existence of the paranormal, but to find out more information and share our findings with the general public. My most compelling piece of evidence to date is capturing what sounds like a little girl crying on a voice recorder in a ruined Napoleonic fort in Somerset. Upon showing the evidence to a parapsychologist, he was very interested and unable to explain the phenomena. In my time investigating the paranormal, trying to find answers, I've visited some incredible locations, from Greyfriars Kirkyard in Edinburgh to 30 East Drive in Pontefract, and the star of today's show, the Ancient Ram Inn. So join me on this journey as I tell you the history, the hauntings, and more of one of the UK's most haunted buildings.
This is like the Holy Grail. It's certainly in Britain, perhaps other than like Tower of London, which are unobtainable. This is the place everyone wants to go.
Nestled in the lush green countryside of Gloucestershire, on the southern edge of the Cotswolds, sits a beautiful and historic market town in Wootton-under-Edge. A town with a vast history dating as far back as 940 AD. The town itself was burnt down during the reign of King John, but was rebuilt in 1252. Overlooking the town on top of Wootton Hill sits a group of trees that were planted in the 19th century to commemorate the Battle of Waterloo. However, this gorgeous town harbours a darkness, a nest of fear, a beacon of paranormal energy. As you leave the centre of the quiet town, over the brow of a hill, you are met with a decrepit stone building. Behind its buckling walls are tales of demons, ghosts, and vicious spectral attacks. Yellowing newspapers adorn the dusty, cracked, spiderweb-ridden window, telling passersby the story of the horrendous happenings from within its crumbling walls. Built in 1145, the ancient Ram Inn served to house masons and slaves who aided in the building of St. Mary's Church, which is a simple stone's throw away from the time-worn building. Rumour had it that there was a tunnel that ran from the Ram all the way to a church, which allowed the masons and the slaves and even the clerics to sneak off to the pub for a cheeky drink. However, there's no evidence to prove that this tunnel actually existed. It's said that the site of the Ram sits on a 5,000-year-old pagan burial ground. The ancient graveyard sits on a crossings of ley lines, which are lines of spiritual energy given off by the earth. Certain religions believe that these invisible lines connect locations of strong spiritual energy. They would build locations of spiritual significance along these lines in an attempt to be closer to the earth. For example, Stonehenge. It's thought that the Ram Inn sits on the ley line that runs from Stonehenge all the way to Bath Abbey, and it's believed that this is the reason for so much paranormal activity at the ancient pub. Another reason for the Ram being a paranormal hotspot is that streams of water were redirected during the construction of St. Mary's Church, and that disrupted the spiritual energy, creating a portal underneath the Ram. The Ram had had many owners since its construction in 1145, first being owned by St. Mary's Church. In 1469, William Berkeley took ownership of the Ram following his win at the Battle of Nebley when he defeated Viscount Leslie, who previously owned the Ram. From 1821, the Ram was a working pub and changed many hands and companies until 1968, when John Humphreys bought the building from a brewery to use as his family home. John lovingly repaired and renovated the Grade 2 listed building, inviting paranormal groups into his home to conduct investigations on a weekly basis, until his death in 2017, where the Ram was passed on to his daughter, who now manages the ancient site as a paranormal location. The crumbling building plays host to several supposed hauntings, from poltergeist activity, shadow figures, and even its very own incubus demon. An incubus demon takes the form of a woman in a man's dream, and then changes its sex to impregnate a woman. Many religions believe that this repeated sexual encounters with an incubus would result in health issues, mental health deterioration, and in very extreme cases, death. John believed that he was being plagued by an incubus on a regular basis, attacking him at night, forcing sex upon him.
I'm a Christian, I don't tell lies. Four times over the last 2 months lately,
he claimed that he was so scared to go into any other part of the building because of all the paranormal activity that he slept and lived in one room.
I am scared, I don't mind admitting it. When I, night time, when I'm alone in the building and I hear heavy footsteps going up, hunters are hearing it now in the front part, but which is 500 years old, and also upstairs they're hearing it on the floor above, up in the attic. Yeah. Now no one's been able to tell me yet what it is.
Several years after moving into the property, John invited a paranormal team from Exeter to come and investigate the Ram. While they were there, the team asked if they could excavate underneath the stairs to try and find a supposed basement. John agreed, but no hidden room was ever found. He claimed that after the investigators left, he was terrorized by the sound of a woman and a baby crying. Supposedly, archaeologists came to investigate the same spot and found bones of a child and a sacrificial dagger, leading John to believe this was the site of an ancient sacrifice. However, there's no concrete evidence to support this. With its colourful history and tales of haunting and paranormal encounters, one cannot shake the feeling that this Grade 2 listed building asks more questions than it answers. From the moment you approach the buckling walls of the Ram, even before you step foot over the threshold from our world into theirs, you're filled with a sense of dread, fear, and trepidation. Be that because of the endless tales of paranormal happenings or the sheer age of the building, it's a feeling that does not go away the longer you stay within the infamous location. As you enter the flimsy white door, your last safe haven before you enter the living room, which was John's living space, the room stretches off into the distance, disappearing into the darkness as a dimly lit room welcomes you. Newspaper clippings adorn the wall, telling tales of the Ram's haunted past and present. A red cushioned sofa sits on the back wall and stretches the length to another which John used as a bed. A small table sits beside the sofa, a worn, dusty, mouldy Holy Bible, which he claimed he would use as a weapon against the persistent attacks from the incubus. The low ceilings give you a strong feeling of claustrophobia, which adds to the uncomfortableness that is a constant in this house. Claims of shadowy figures being seen in the room are common. As you reach the far end of the living room, you're greeted with another flimsy door which leads to the old bar area of the building. This is a central hub of the building where a lot of the activity happens. As you enter the room, to your left, you're faced with the ancient grave, a small hole in the ground where it's claimed child bones had been found. This room is an Aladdin's cave of trinkets and treasures that adorn every inch of the room. Hanging from the ceiling above the gravesite is a stuffed crow that slowly turns and sways, its eyes watching every move you make. Along the left wall of the room are Toby jugs, statues, and various knick-knacks, including an old weathered ship's wheel, which John claimed was from the Mayflower. The centerpiece for the room is a large wooden fireplace built into the wall. Wooden beams frame the impressive structure, and a large ram's head sits above it, keeping an eye over proceedings. I can imagine what it would have been like in the 1800s to have a roaring fire fighting off the bitterly cold winter as you enjoy a lovely hot beverage. There are many claims in this room, from growls coming from the fireplace, strange noises, and poltergeist activity. During an investigation I captured here, I was lucky enough to capture a strange breath coming from behind one of my team members. The current owner contacted me when I mentioned I was doing some research on the ram and told me about an experience that her partner had had in the room. I've managed to get hold of footage from the owner's CCTV, which shows her partner sorting through something while sitting next to the ancient grave. His keys are sitting on a table next to him. Suddenly, the keys move on the table, startling him and causing him to stop what he's doing. I've been given permission to share this video on our social media. I will give you the details on where you can find the video at the end. Coming up on Eerie Earth, more about the hauntings of the infamous ancient Ram Inn.
I may never have met you. We don't go way back. Maybe we wouldn't even be friends if we did. But when you wear a mask, you have my respect. Because your mask doesn't protect you. It protects me. I wear my mask to protect you. Mask up, America.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
I was in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean when it happened. There was a sudden jolt and our submarine crashed on the seafloor. We were in total darkness.
That's Dr. Dejana Figueroa, a marine biologist and STEM teacher, talking about a deep sea dive she'll never forget.
It's funny, when I was a kid, I was afraid of the ocean, and there I was, 2 miles below the surface. But as a scientist, you prepare for that. Using our training and a little creativity, we fixed the sub and finished our experiments. The dive was just too important. Every dive gives us glimpses at things few people ever get to see. Glowing creatures, fiery undersea volcanoes. When we got back to the surface, I kissed the ground and called my mom, of course. But you know what? I wouldn't trade that dive for anything.
Dr. Figueroa uses her passion for STEM to discover new things and make the world a better place. She can STEM, so can you. Check out She Can STEM for more stories and inspiration. A message from the Ad Council.
These are the sounds of a dinner. But not just any dinner. A dinner that almost didn't happen. Because without food, it can't. A dinner now served, thanks to people like you. Due to COVID-19, 17 million more Americans may face hunger. Feeding America is helping our neighbors in need. And if you're able, you can too. Donations to the COVID-19 Relief Fund are being accepted at feedingamerica.org/coronavirus. Your help is needed now more than ever, and every dollar makes a difference. That's feedingamerica.org/coronavirus. On behalf of Feeding America and families nationwide, thank you. Brought to you by the Ad Council and Feeding America, 200 Food Banks Strong.
Hi, it's Olivia Munn with my shelter pets, Frankie and Chance. Say hi, guys. When I adopted them, I discovered that they both have incredible personalities. Chance's sole purpose in life is to love and to be loved. Frankie is a little bit of a scoundrel and always entertaining. They're a little bit of a lot of things, but they're all pure love. Adopt pure love at theshelterpetproject.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council, the Humane Society of the United States, and Maddie's Fund.
Okay, forest animals, kids are coming to the forest, and it's up to us to make their visit a good one. Sparrow, have you practiced the most popular bird songs for the year?
Of course.
Catchy. I like it. River, how's the temperature?
It's a refreshing 52 degrees, man.
I love it. Turtle.
He's not here yet, man.
He's late every morning. Okay. Squirrel.
The forest has been preparing just for you. To learn more about cool things to do in the forest, visit discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Eerie Earth, and now we continue our journey through the ancient Ramin. Moving on from the bar area, you enter a small hallway which leads to a large barn. The barn was added to the Ram in the 1800s and is not original to the building. The barn stretches off into the distance and is full from floor to ceiling of John's belongings, including old motorbikes, as he was an avid collector of the Triumph motorbikes. Along the floor are wooden panels for you to walk on, minding your step that you don't trip over, which leads to a sofa and a table, which is set up for paranormal investigators to use for seances or Ouija boards. It's claimed that the shadow figures have been seen in this room, as well as the sound of a large dog pacing up and down. Loud footsteps padding the wooden boards, filling the air as investigators ask for spirits to make contact. It's said that investigators have seen bodies hanging from the ceiling as if hung by the neck. John claimed that he replaced the roof of the barn when he bought the building because the barn was in severe disrepair. He bought the roof from a farmer that he knew who had an old barn that he didn't use, and he donated the roof to John. John believes that the spirits that people have been seeing hanging from the rafters are attached to the roof. They weren't actually hanged in the barn of the Ram. A famous television show that visited the Ram had one of their most dramatic occurrences here, when a team member was apparently thrown to the floor in a violent attack. He claimed that he felt someone push him over, then punch and kick him repeatedly until the rest of the crew were able to get him up and help him to his feet. Whilst investigating the barn, it's easy to forget that you're investigating a family home, as you feel separated from the actual building. The noise from the outside world interrupts your investigation quite frequently whilst in the barn, as well as in other locations, which can take you out of the darkness and tentative feelings of the building. At the end of the small hallway are a set of rickety stairs that leads up to the second floor. The worn carpet that runs the length of the staircase is frayed and dusty as you begin to ascend. Behind you on the wall is a faded, torn newspaper clipping showing the picture of a white mist that John claimed he captured. He claimed that when he captured the picture, he was thrown to the top of the stairs. Loud footsteps walking the length of the staircase are often heard. Many visitors have claimed to have felt the feeling of cold hands pushing them up as they ascend the creaky stairs one step after another. At the top, there's another large ram's head keeping watch, almost protecting the staircase, warding off any evil spirits. As you reach the top, to your right-hand side is a bedroom called the Witch's Room. This was known as the honeymoon suite when John tried to run the inn as a B&B. As you enter the room, there's a large double bed to your left, which is held up by blocks of wood. The floorboards creak loudly, and they feel very off-center, giving the feeling of being on a boat in a rough sea. To your right is a large dining table with seats tucked in around it. A candle sits proudly in the middle, gathering dust. A large fireplace sits pride of place in the center of the wall as you enter the room, with yet more treasures and statues and trinkets adorning the fireplace and any spare space available. As cars go past on the main road next to the building, their headlights filling the darkness, illuminating the dust-covered room, it allows you to see it in all of its magnitude, which the dull light from the lamps does not allow. The room is said to have been a hiding place for a witch who came to the Ram Inn seeking refuge during the witch trials of the 1500s. It's said that she fled the government-appointed witch hunters who were after her and wanted to burn her at the stake. She spent the night at the Ram before being captured. It's said that her spirit haunts this room and has been known to be extremely violent, biting people and pushing people. The spirit of a small black cat has been felt in this room, with investigators claiming to feel something brush up against their legs. The sounds of purring and meowing have been captured. Many believe this to be the witch's familiar. The ghost of a small child has been witnessed standing in the window looking out into the street. Many believe that the child is disabled as it's been seen with a crutch. On many of the newspapers that litter the walls of the building, there is one which states that a picture has been taken of the small child. However, I'm yet to see this picture to validate it for myself. During our previous investigation, my colleague began to feel very uncomfortable whilst in the witch's room. He felt that something had walked through him and he began to feel very dizzy and lethargic. This feeling only lasted a few minutes before he had to leave and go outside to get some fresh air.
That was just the encompassing. I felt like it was freezing. And it was like, the best way I can describe it, it's like I felt something standing to my left. Right? And then when we heard the loud bang, and it didn't seem to disappear. It just sort of stayed there afterwards. And then suddenly, it was like, oh, straight through me. It went funny all down here, you know, about here it was. And then, as I was going cold here, pains and needles were rising on this side.
Right.
I've never felt anything like that.
Opposite the doorway to the witch's room is a small landing. The walls of the landing are plastered with yet more newspaper clippings, but this time explaining the history of the Ram rather than the ghostly goings-on. Behind a sheet of plastic, the plaster on the wall has been removed to show how the walls of the Ram were built, showing horsehair and sticks being weaved amongst one another, creating a solid structure. On the wall is an extravagant grandfather's clock where a lot of investigators have claimed that they've seen a face in the glass of the clock. Next to it is a very rickety and wobbly staircase that leads up to the attic. Opposite the stairs is a short corridor which leads to one of the most haunted rooms in the Ram, and possibly the UK. The Bishop's Room. It was in this corridor that an American TV show caught a very compelling shadow figure leaving the Bishop's Room and going through an outside wall. Before you enter the Bishop's Room, John would say that it was customary to use a shepherd's crook that he had handy to knock on the door of the Bishop's Room, which was a very old oak door with a black and gold sign with ornate writing reading "The Bishop's Room." He would knock on the door and ask if there was anybody there.
Is there anyone here?
He claimed that this was a way to appease the spirits that were residing within the room so they didn't get cross when people would enter. As the door opens, a cloud of dust explodes into your nostrils, making you cough. The room is large and contains three single beds, a moth-bitten dusty blanket on each. Another large fireplace sits on the left wall. John claimed that he was cleaning the fireplace once and he found a small hole in the stonework. When he removed more stones, he found evidence of devil worship, material used in the conjuring of the devil or evil entities. He claimed that he found the hoof of the devil and believed that people who'd been visiting the Ram in the past had performed rituals that accounted for a lot of the paranormal occurrences that happened within this room. He claimed that this room was so evil that dogs would turn on their own owners, biting them. Supposedly in this room, visitors have claimed that while they've been sleeping, someone has tried to get into bed with them. Women have claimed to have been touched inappropriately in this room, as well as people witnessing full possessions while staying in this room. It's said that a cavalier has been seen in the window, standing in the corner of the room, almost keeping guard of people who stay there. An old woman has been seen sitting in front of the fire, warming herself from the cold. It was in the bishop's room that John had his first ever encounter with the infamous incubus. However, unfortunately, I've never had the pleasure of witnessing any paranormal activity within this room. Above the bishop's room sits the Weaver's Attic. As you scale the treacherous staircase leading to the dusty, dank, uneven loft, the wood moving beneath your weight, thoughts of falling through dance in your mind. You get a very strange feeling. The feeling of claustrophobia has been present throughout the house. It's almost intensified in the attic, as the ceiling is not that high. It's here in the attic that it said in the 1500s the innkeeper's daughter was hanged. Following her death, reports of heavy footsteps and dragging sounds emanating from the empty space are frequent. Her spirit has been seen standing in the area of the attic, which is unsafe for the public to go due to rotten floorboards. Voices have been heard from the bishop's room below and from the attic while people are in the bishop's room. The Weaver's Attic is also said to be the hiding place of the last two highwaymen in the UK while they were hiding from the law before their capture. While we investigated the Ram Inn, we found that the attic had an extremely large amount of EMF, or electric magnetic field, which could account for the uneasy feelings in the attic, as well as numerous sightings. High level of EMF can make people feel sick, queasy, or even hallucinate. Running above the house is a power line which sits directly above the roof. I believe that this accounts for a lot of the activity in the attic. Now, that's not to say that there isn't a very strange feeling in the attic. There certainly is. As you explore the dark corridors and rooms of the ancient Ram Inn, it's very easy to get caught up in the stories of hauntings and possessions. The building itself is a token haunted house. Spider webs hang from the ceiling. Floorboards creak, and every single room has a dark corner where anything could be lurking. Having visited the location numerous times, each visit leaving me disappointed with a lack of concrete evidence, one has to question whether or not the stories of hauntings, possessions, and demonic attacks are those of fabrication, fantasy, or delusion. If you ever get the opportunity to come and visit the Ram Inn, I would highly recommend it. Not only is it a national treasure, as a paranormal enthusiast, it's truly one location that any budding or professional investigator needs to knock off their bucket list. Thank you for joining me on this journey through the ancient Ram Inn. The adventure continues over on our social media, where you'll be able to find the CCTV footage of paranormal occurrences caught at the Ram and information on where you can find previous investigations. You can find us on Facebook by searching Eerie Earth, or Twitter at Earth_Eerie. Or Instagram at Eerie Earth Official. If you'd like to get in contact with the show or tell me about a story you'd like me to cover or even appear on the show yourself, you can contact me at eerieearth@hotmail.com. Thank you very much for listening to Eerie Earth on Midnight FM. I'll see you next time. Bye bye for now.